Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, everybody. It is Friday, January 20th, 2012. I'm Mike Adams, filling in for Alex Jones, who is off today. Thank you for joining us. We have a huge lineup of incredible news for you today and several guests, including a couple of guests in studio, including Dr. Edward Group, who's here to talk to us about the detoxification of aluminum. So if you are concerned about chemtrails or the aluminum in foods and medicines and vaccines, and you want to learn how to stay clean and clear of aluminum, stay tuned. We're going to have him joining us. Also, Dr. Peter DeVette, author of Heal Thyself, talking to us about quantum medicine. We've got another guest as well coming up, a surprise guest. And then, of course, Bob Chapman in the third hour. And in terms of the news that we have today, hold on to your hat, folks. We have news about the carpet bombing of Texas with rabies vaccines that are being airdropped from planes to carpet bomb over 7,000 square miles of rural South and West Texas. Yep, they're dropping rabies vaccines as if they were weapons of war. That's coming up. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's kind of sad, but it's so crazy sometimes what's out there with the vaccines. We've also got stories about, sadly, another child has died after being given 9 vaccines all at the same time, an infant that didn't even have the honor of experiencing much life at all. Sadly, we will go into that issue. We've got a bunch of news on vaccines. We've got news about the SOPA situation and Anonymous having a massive counterattack against the federal government. They took down the Justice Department website. They took down the FBI. They took down the RIAA and the MPAA in their backlash against Mega Upload being raided by the feds. That was sort of the feds' way of giving their finger to the SOPA protest that took place 2 days ago, Wednesday. Massive protests, massive blackouts all across the internet. The feds didn't like that, so they immediately moved to exercise their tyrannical power to try to take down a website that they claim is violating copyrights. We'll get into that today. We've got news about Google. We've got news about gold. We've got news about Ron Paul. All of that coming up right here on the Alex Jones Show. Actually, it's 4 guests today, including Bob Chapman. So now in terms of the surprise guest, I might as well just leak the surprise right now for you. Her name is Tisha Casida. She is running for Congress in Colorado. And in fact, she has a position very publicly speaking out against NDAA. And she's in favor of food freedom. She's in favor of basic fundamental human freedoms and rights for all of us. She's going to be joining us, and we'll hear from her for the first time. That's her first time to join the Alex Jones Show. All that and more coming up. Now, I got to say, thank you for having me here. It's an honor to be here today. And some of this news just drives me crazy about the vaccines. Now, on the other side of the break, we're going to get into that, but let me give you a preview of the carpet bombing story. Here we go. The Texas Department of Agriculture has dropped 1.8 million edible vaccines. This happened just 2 weeks ago to try to vaccinate the coyotes and the wolves who are running rampant, they say, across Texas with rabies. But as they're doing this, they don't realize that they're actually dropping genetic material for rabies right into the environment. Now, do you think that might have a problem? Do you think that might recombine with some of the other viruses that are out there in the wild, maybe create a worse version of rabies that then needs more vaccinations? And what's this deal about now vaccinating all the animals in the world? I mean, isn't it bad enough and profitable enough that they're vaccinating children and adults and senior citizens? Now they got to start targeting all the animals out there? Really? There's a lot of animals to vaccinate. That's a lot of money for the vaccine makers. No wonder. Now they're going to start targeting, I'm sure, skunks, possums, and raccoons, and wild pigs. So all that coming up, and much more, right here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with all of that breaking news and our guests. Stay with us.
We
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. It is Friday, January 20th, 2012. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex Jones, who is off today, no doubt working very hard on other projects. In fact, he's going to be bringing us a video that he's recording right now. That's going to be at the top of the third hour, about a 6 or 7 minute video report from Alex Jones on some of the breaking developments that are happening today. It's great to join you. Thanks. I want to thank Alex for having me on, and thank you for your support of me being a fill-in host. We've got a ton of news to cover today. First, big breaking news on Fast and Furious. Now, Patrick J. Cunningham has informed the House Oversight Committee, this is out of Arizona, informed them that he's going to invoke his Fifth Amendment protection so that he doesn't need to testify on what really happened in Arizona. Now, Fast and Furious, of course, I'm talking about the covert scheme to ship guns into Mexico, thousands of guns, and then blame the Second Amendment as gun violence erupted back in the United States. Now, they got caught. Eric Holder has been caught. The Obama administration caught. And now they're invoking their Fifth Amendment rights, which is especially ironic, given that they don't want you to have your Second Amendment rights. So they want to just selectively invoke the rights for themselves, but strip those rights away from you and all of your fellow family members, neighborhood friends, all the people in your community can't have those rights. So think about this. Thousands of guns shipped into Mexico, violent outbreaks. Now, the murder of law enforcement officers in the United States has already been linked to those very guns that the U.S. government shipped into Mexico. And still, the mainstream media won't tell the truth about this. They say, oh, this was a gun sting gone bad. No, it wasn't. It was a crime. It was a criminal scheme dreamed up by the White House to destroy the Second Amendment. And when they get caught, they plead the Fifth. Come on. Maybe, hey, when we the citizens, if we get caught, can we plead the Second? I mean, what would that look like? All right, moving on. Google is already using SOPA-like censorship. This is an article by Paul Joseph Watson on Infowars.com today. Check it out online. Now, this is a very important story because, of course, Google joined in the internet strike, the big blackout that took place on Wednesday. You had Reddit, you had Wired Magazine, Wikipedia, our own site, Natural News, also joined in, many others taking part in the big blackout, as well as Google. They blacked out their logo, but is there a contradiction in their actions? Because Google already uses SOPA-like censorship. And some examples of this are Google stripping out legitimate alternative news websites from Google News. As you know, they removed InfoWars sometime in late 2010, I believe. And shortly thereafter, of course, they stripped Natural News out of their news index as well. And we never really openly complained about it because we just get so much traffic from so many other sources. But here's something interesting. Even though they stripped us out of their website, they would publish the news stories on other sites that had copied our news and placed it on their sites. So you see, Google News wasn't really against our news. They just didn't want our website to get credit for it. So they allowed other sites that were pirating our news to get credit for it. So there you go. That's how Google News really works. And of course, Google owns YouTube, and YouTube does whatever the government tells it to do. Strips away videos of public protests because a lot of countries that where the people demand freedom are now using YouTube to publish videos that call for protest, that call for freedom, that call for liberty. And when that happens, the government just says, YouTube, take them down. And they do. They comply. So, you know, isn't it kind of strange that Google's protesting SOPA when it's very much SOPA-like? Now, for the record, I admire Google for going dark on its homepage for the SOPA protest. I just think they need to be more consistent with it. If they're in favor of freedom of information, why do they censor all the alternative news websites out of Google News? After all, well, here's another thought on that. If you look at the mainstream news websites that are published in Google News, they're all copying the same content from Reuters and AP. It's all canned news. I mean, if AP puts out a story, you can find 50 to 60 other websites that have the exact same story, same title, same text, word for word, and Google News will publish that. No problem. Why? Because it's mainstream conventional news that has the disinformation that they want the public to see. But if you have intelligent analysis, if you have alternative news or an alternative viewpoint, or if you're pro-Ron Paul or anti-vaccine or anti-tyranny, then your news, no, all of a sudden that's not okay. That's how it really works there. All right, moving on. Another big thing that happened after the SOPA protest, the big internet strike blackout of Wednesday, was the Justice Department raided megaupload.com, which was a big uploading site. Some of its files were shared, you know, illegally. They were in copyright violation, but most of their files weren't. At least that's my understanding. I wasn't actually a user of that site, so I can't speak from personal experience. But in any case, the Department of Justice, without due process, and basically giving a finger to the internet protest that took place on Wednesday, the Department of Justice seized the website. They handed out 7 indictments, and they even got the New Zealand police to raid the founder of this site. What's his name? .com is his handle. He lives in New Zealand. And because some of the allegedly pirated content was hosted on servers that were leased out of Virginia, the U.S. believes this gives it the right to go into foreign nations and arrest people there. They seized more than $8 million in assets. And of course, that money's gone forever, disappearing into the black hole that is government. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has a statement on this. They said that the arrest sets, quote, a terrifying precedent. If the United States can seize a Dutch citizen in New Zealand over a copyright claim in Virginia, then what is next? Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's the whole point of it. What is next? If SOPA had passed, or PIPA, the Protect IP Act, you know, SOPA stands for Stop Online Piracy Act. It's not soup in Espanol, as some people have been joking about. Stop Online Piracy, okay? But SOPA and PIPA, if they had passed, it would have given the U.S. government the, quote, legal right to go in and seize and shut down any website that they wanted, any website whatsoever, for just about any quote, violation. And these violations could be things as simple as, of course, someone coming on to, let's say, Infowars.com and posting a comment that contains a link to a copyrighted video. So even if Infowars itself didn't mean to have that comment on there, the Justice Department could say, your site is promoting piracy, and so we're going to take you down. Well, you know, hey, in my view, the MPAA, it's a pretty pathetic organization, in my opinion, because they are willing to sacrifice freedom all across the internet just to protect their little corporate profits. Their greed is so immense that they will strip away your First Amendment rights, and they will shut down websites everywhere, legitimate educational websites, just so that they can collect their royalties on their mind control movies out of Hollywood. Most of them are filled with all kinds of hypnotic disinformation that try to alter your view of reality and give you false ideas about things, like these movies about pandemics, you know, just prepping you, making you comfortable with the idea that there's going to be a massive global pandemic, a super virus released as a bioweapon, that lots of people are going to die and the government's going to come in and be your savior. That's the kind of movies that they want to put out there, that they want us to pay for, that they want to protect. Give me a break. So Anonymous, I guess, sort of agrees with that analysis. And they went on what's called a mega upload revenge spree. Kind of like that term. They shut down yesterday the Department of Justice website, the RIAA, target after target. They shut down the MPAA. They shut down EMI, Universal Music, all of them offline because of this rampage from Anonymous. Which, you know, Anonymous doesn't really have a leader, obviously. Otherwise, they would be taken down, just like Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. So they have to remain anonymous, and no one really knows exactly who they are. As Alex has pointed out, that can be somewhat dangerous because the government can sometimes act like they are anonymous and put in a false flag hacker attack. But in this case, it's very clear that this was the real, genuine Anonymous engaged in this attack. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Anonymous, they're a bunch of hackers and they're a bunch of criminals doing all these crimes online. I got to say, you know, in some way, I kind of like the way that they protest, because when the government is engaged in deep criminality, when they take away your First Amendment rights online, when they take away your citizenship under the Enemy Expatriation Act, when they take away your due process under the NDAA, which Obama signed on New Year's Eve, when they turn you into criminals by signing their illegal, unconstitutional laws, what options do they leave open to us? You know, what else can we do but protest and have online civil disobedience, which is really what Anonymous is doing? You know, there is a point, there is a threshold beyond which we have to use the tools we have available to fight for the freedoms that we're supposed to be guaranteed. I'm not saying that I promote piracy. I'm not saying that I promote, you know, hacking, anything that would actually harm anybody, but I do support public protest. I do support this kind of protest, this kind of online civil disobedience, because we've been deprived of due process. The courts won't rule in favor of truth and justice anymore. They've all been bought and paid for by the feds, who have their own agenda, which is to clamp down on everything, shut us all up, to get alternative news and alternative media offline, and basically control us as little slave-minded hypnotic minions running around paying taxes, working, you know, 16 hours a day, consuming products and never waking up to the reality of what's actually happening around us. That's what they want. So this all indicates an escalating cyber war. This is an article out of also on prisonplanet.com. First appeared on Activist Post. Escalating cyber war. What happened on Wednesday and what happened yesterday shows the power of the internet to affect political change in America and around the world. That's a power that the big global elite don't want to deal with. Stay with us right here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back with much more on the other side of this break. Talk to you then. All right, welcome back, folks, to the Alex Jones Show on this Friday, January 20th. I'm filling in for Alex today, and it's good to be with you. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com, and today we've got just tons of breaking news. InfoWars reports Ron Paul, the initial results show that Ron Paul actually won the South Carolina Republican debate, even though, of course, they hardly gave the guy a chance to speak again, predictably. We even have, you know what, let's cue this up, guys. We've got Ron Paul, not for this segment, but later on, Ron Paul, the fact they wouldn't let him speak and the audience started booing the moderators as if to say, let Ron Paul speak, for God's sake. He's the only guy with real ideas of how to solve problems. He's the only one who has integrity and credibility and isn't a globalist minion. So let the man speak. I mean, he's the only one who can really save us from where we are headed. All right, but we'll get back to that. I want to get back to this story, vaccine warfare, Texas airdropping, the state of Texas, yes, airdropping, carpet bombing the state of Texas with rabies vaccines. They take these vaccines, they dip them in fish oil and fish crumbs of some kind, fish coating, and then they drop them on over 7,000 square miles of wild country. And then they say this is going to solve the rabies problems in wolves and coyotes. And they claim it's 100% successful, huge success rate. Oh, wow, that's a really cool screen. That's awesome. You can watch this broadcast, by the way, on Infowars.com. I'm sorry, Infowars, prisonplanet.tv. There we go. We've got a screen behind me. If you're listening on the radio and you're wondering why I'm talking about visuals, it's because this is simulcast on prisonplanet.tv. But getting back to this story, you see, the idea now is that we're going to be able to vaccinate all the animals in the wild if we just spend enough money with these drug companies and if we have enough airplanes and we just carpet bomb every state in the country. So what happens when they're done carpet bombing for foxes and wolves? Are they going to have, well, they're already talking about skunk vaccines. What's next? Wild pig vaccines? Are they going to have vaccines for all the slugs and all the beetles and all the ants and all the worms? Are we going to vaccinate the entire animal ecosystem on our planet and call that medicine? Really? And what happens when all this DNA goes down the rivers and streams and gets dumped into the Gulf of Mexico and then starts recombining with all the marine life in the ocean there? Are we going to end up with like a rabies-infested shark attack situation down there? I mean, I don't know. Maybe rabies doesn't get into, you know, these marine species. I don't know. I'm not a marine biologist. I'm just saying it's a stupid idea to start throwing rabies RNA and DNA material all around the countryside. It's insane. It's just another example of how incredibly retarded these arrogant scientists can be when they just think about the short-term impacts and not the long-term effects. Speaking of that, another baby has died after receiving 9 vaccines in one day. The parents, Raphael Sir Jacobs and Beatrice DuPont, their 9-week-old daughter, Stacy, is sadly dead today. She died just 1 week after receiving her first vaccination. She was hit with 9 vaccines in the hospital, including vaccines for diphtheria, tetanus, polio, pertussis, hepatitis B, and more. And then she had a fever of 39.9 degrees Celsius, which is too high. I don't know what that comes out Fahrenheit, but it's too high. When she died, her death was recorded as, quote, meningitis. See, they never blame the vaccines. This is part of the scam. They say, oh, your child died from one of these infections. Well, where did the infection come from if she was in an incubator in a hospital? You know, I mean, where the infection came from the vaccine. We covered this here on InfoWars and the Alex Jones Show before. The Institute of Medicine has openly admitted that MMR vaccines actually cause measles. It's part of their report because so many of the vaccines have live viruses in them. It's making me sick just thinking about these vaccines. I'm telling you, these poor kids, this is not a laughing matter. Universal flu vaccine could be available by 2013, they say. The holy grail of flu treatment, this is being reported in U.S. News and World Report. They say, oh, we're going to have a universal flu vaccine now. But here's the kicker in all this. Now that they're pushing a universal flu vaccine, they have to admit that all the old vaccines don't really work. Otherwise, why would you need a new one? Because all along, the propaganda of the old vaccines has been, well, they work 100%. Yeah, you take a flu shot, you won't get the flu. But turns out that's just hype. U.S. News and World Report admits previous season's vaccines have no effect on future strains of the virus. What they mean is they have no effect on present strains of the virus because it's already mutated from last year. We got a lot more coming up here on the Alex Jones Show, so stay with us. We have a guest joining us on the other side of this break, the author of Heal Thyself. Talk about quantum healing, Dr. Peter DeVette. So stay with us right here. This is Mike Adams on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back, folks, to the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams filling in today for Alex, who has the day off. And I want to give a shout out to Alex. I hope he's using this day to continue with his own preparedness plans. I mentioned before, you know, it's always a challenge here when you're on the front lines fighting for freedom in the info war. You got to take time to take care of your own preparedness. And that's the same message for all of you out there, too. Make sure that even as you're listening to this and gaining the knowledge and learning what's happening, make sure you turn that into real action. So get yourself squared away with your stored food. Get yourself defensively positioned. Get yourself with your emergency medicine so that you can be safe and your family can be safe and your community can be safe no matter what comes down the road. That's a very important principle. Now, moving on, we have a guest here with us today, Dr. Peter DeVette, who is the author of a book called Heal Thyself. And he's got a lot of revolutionary information. We're going to go into several topics with him here in a long segment here. Dr. DeVette, thank you for joining me in studio today. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a privilege to be here.
Now, you're a Texan. Your practice, your wellness center is based in Tyler. You're a graduate of UT. You've been in and around Texas for a long time.
Well, actually, a little bit further south than Texas. I actually originate from South Africa. Uh-huh. Came to the States in 89, actually 87, to study alternative medicine. And so I made my home here, came to Texas and did my postgraduate studies at UT Health Center in Tyler, and then got on this track to practice holistic medicine. So at the University of Texas, I started a department called the Center for Nutrition and Preventive Medicine.
How did they like that? Did they like nutrition there?
They liked the idea, but then when it came to practice, you know, it kind of faded. You know, the bureaucracy just could not handle the incorporation, you know, of education into patient care.
Well, there's just so much into drugs and surgery and that whole mindset. They just couldn't handle it.
Well, it's just, yeah, you know, they have a vested interest in disease management. So,
right.
You know, I often tell my patients, we don't have a health care system, we have a disease management system. So
I want to ask you about that, but first, what about the story we just covered in the last segment? This poor girl, Stacy, died after getting 9 vaccines in one day. These are the vaccines that she got. They just kept injecting her, pumping her full of chemicals until she died. I mean, what's your take on vaccines?
Well, you know, my wife runs a foundation called the Assist Autism Foundation, and we take care of a lot of these autistic patients, and every single one of them, I mean, without fail, there's a story there that these kids, virtually every one of them, I'm not trying to generalize, but these kids are normal, and then all of a sudden they get their 18-month vaccine, or they get their, you know, 6-month vaccine or 8-month vaccine, and the kid changes
right. Time
and time again, you know. And to take a premature infant and load them up with 9 vaccines, you know, with the preservatives that are in there, and, you know, it's just, you know,
the chemical adjuvants,
absolutely egregious.
Well, then they say she died from meningitis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they always have to blame something else.
If you pump enough toxin into the system, then, you know, then you're going to eventually weaken the defense mechanisms, and you're going to die of something else. And they can say, "Yep, you know, kid died of meningitis, or, well, you know, gastroenteritis, whatever."
Isn't that also true with cancer and chemotherapy? When someone dies from the chemo poison, they always say they died from cancer.
Well,
I mean, they don't say that you died from the chemo. Your kidney failed,
right? Exactly.
Your liver failed. Your brain got melted into a mound of goo and, you know, chemo brain. Now you're dead. And they say, I died from cancer.
And sometimes they don't even say that. They say you died from an infection because they blew out your immune system.
Right.
And then you got the meningitis, or you got, you know, some other disease, you know. So it's amazing how, you know, we have the wool pulled over our eyes, you know, on medical issues in this country.
Well, now, to combat that, you have your book, Heal Thyself, and also what is your website, by the way, where people can get more information if they're interested?
It's QHIwellness.com, and QHI stands for Quantum Healing Institute, so it's QHIwellness.com.
Okay, QHIwellness.com, and what I like about your book and why I asked you to be here, this is the first time we've ever met, actually, and first time you've been on the Alex Jones Show, but I like the fact that in your book you address the failure of the allopathic approach to medicine. I mean, it's not that it's useless. It has its uses in acute emergencies and so on. But you talk about how we need to stop just treating the symptoms and get into the causes of health and the causes of disease that we can avert. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, in my book, there's a chapter called The 5 Levels of Healing. You know, and I was inspired by one of my mentors, Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, you know, on this particular subject. But, you know, he framed it in a way that if you want to heal a disease, you have to get to the source of it. And the source is very seldom physical, although on the physical realm, we have a lot of cofactors, and we see more and more added every day with GMOs and toxicities and aluminum chemtrails and, you know, it's coming up and
right.
The likes. I mean, so we're doing a lot of things on the physical level. We have all these super organisms that we're creating because of too much antibiotic use. So all of that is relevant on the physical level, you know, but conventional medicine plays out simply at just that one level, the physical level. Now, you know, if we want to actually track the source of illness, we have to go a little bit higher. So we need to look at the energy body. You know, we're being inundated with all kinds of pollutants, not just physical pollutants, but electronic
like
pollutants.
Like EMFs, you're talking about,
yeah.
Cell phone towers, Wi-Fi.
Now, the two worst ones.
Mystery No, go ahead.
The two worst ones, Wi-Fi and cordless phones. I mean,
cordless phones.
Two simple things that everybody has in their homes these days. And if you work, you know, if you live in an apartment, you have 10 of them around you, radiating you. You know, so it's no wonder that autism rates skyrocket when you go into, you know, some of these subdivisions where you have apartments and stuff like that.
Hey, isn't there a new, there's a type 3 diabetes is being called now that is caused by electromagnetic contamination or inundation with EMFs. I mean, some people's blood sugar goes crazy when they're around Wi-Fi or cell phones.
Well, and not just that, but palpitations. I mean, I was talking to a physician in Dallas a while back, and he told me his wife died in 2005 from palpitations. She was in her 40s. I said to him, you know, just for interest's sake, do you have Wi-Fi in your house? He said, yep. I asked him, when did you get it? 2 weeks before she died.
Oh.
So it's like, wow, that's interesting. You know, and I hear these stories all the time because I'm in a position where I'm asking about it. You know, but even more important is to go deeper, because in my book, we talk about what's called the mental field or the mental body. So stress plays a huge role as well in disease creation. So every disease, you know, just turns out has a stress program related to it that programs for that specific disease. So that's why some people get, you know, meningitis, other people get sore throats, and other people get cancer of the liver and so forth. You know, so if you want to start figuring out why people develop what they develop based on all these influences, that's where you have to go.
And by stress, you don't just mean the typical traditional stress, like you worked too hard. You're talking about it could be relationship stress. It could be environmental stress, pollutants, you know, a biochemical stress. It could be a stress of too much radiation, you know, from Fukushima fallout. It could be lots of stresses.
Right, but there's mental stress component in virtually every disease creation. So, but the mental stress component corresponds with the physical stress as well. So you get the toxin, but the toxin doesn't make you sick until emotional conflict comes into play that programs for the weakening of that specific organ that then creates the disease. So,
right. For
instance, if you talk about breast cancer, you know, start listening to stories, but when you talk to women that have developed breast cancer, find out from them what happened just before the breast cancer was diagnosed. What happened in the family? Because you always find that there was a family drama, some kind of a nesting drama, or something related to the nest. Women are nesting beings; men are territorial beings. You know, so very definitive emotional stresses that weaken specific parts of the body, and that program for disease on the brain level and also in the body itself.
Well, that's a really good point. You know, we talk a lot about nutrition. That's one of my favorite subjects. But of course, we have to recognize the three levels of existence, you know, the body, the mind, the spirit, and all of those three are so crucial for having health. One of the things that drives me a little crazy is when people talk about they're just going to fix their mind, they're going to meditate, they're going to chant, but they're still going to eat cheeseburgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't you have to address all three levels? You can't leave out the nutritional aspect, even if you're addressing mental and spiritual.
Well, there's a pairing between our habits and our emotions. So, for instance, people tend to self-sabotage much more readily when they're stressed than when they're really, you know, at a good emotional level. So it doesn't help to scare people about, you know, you shouldn't eat this and that, because then you're depriving them. And deprivation has never worked in human history. People can deprive for a limited period of time, but then they fail. They fall off the wagon. So what you have to do is figure out what the emotional conflict is that programs them to want to, you know, be addicted to certain foods, you know, and certain chemicals and certain ways of, you know, even certain ignorance patterns.
So you would help a patient get into their history to understand, like, am I wrong in saying maybe something happened in your childhood that made you addicted to cheeseburgers? I mean, for example, maybe your parents got divorced and then your dad thanked you for seeing him by giving you cheeseburgers. And then you're mentally tuned in. Cheeseburgers means love.
You're brilliant.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. The situation. I mean, you know, there's always a hidden root. So why is it that, you know, our kids are growing up totally addicted to, you know, to fast food? And when you try to change their habits, you know, they go through severe stress trying to make their change. And usually the parents fail at it because, you know, the kid has been indoctrinated because of the stress patterns that have linked up to their habits. In my book, there's a chapter called Healing Through Recall. You know, so it takes a lot of common diseases and it breaks it down to the common conflicts that underlie the specific diseases and what has to be done to clear those diseases. So you do the work on the physical level, you do the work on the energetic level to clean things up, you know, detox, and then you also have to work at the mental, and even at the genealogical. Level four is genealogy.
Ah, interesting.
The field of epigenetics.
Why not just take a bunch of amphetamine prescription drugs to deal with your mental issues? Come on, doc, give me some, what's the Prozac? Give me some Risperdal, give me whatever.
Well, that's what conventional medicine does. If they can't explain your illness, they just put you on, you know, some Prozac because you'll feel better.
Doesn't that drive your trauma deeper into your tissues and deeper into your body?
Because you're negating, that's what painkillers do. Not only do they affect you on the physical level, antidepressants affect you on the physical level, but they make it impossible to deal with emotions that are attached. As a matter of fact, there's an enhancing effect of disease patterns. You know, so for instance, you know, with narcotics, you know, you're numbing down the emotions so that people cannot, you know, gain insight. And I think that's part of the conspiracy here is, you know, is to dumb us down with all the aluminum that's raining down on us and all the mercury we're getting in, in our mouths. And
you know, narcotic prescription, sorry to interrupt, but I guess I'm getting that habit from Alex. But I'm trying to keep the pacing going here. But, you know, prescription drugs, there are more addictions to prescription narcotics than there are illegal narcotics. Exactly. I mean, it's prescription drugs that are the addiction problem.
We're fighting a war against drugs. But have you noticed when we fight wars against anything, we fail? I mean, we're constantly fighting
war on drugs.
Cancer. Look at what's happened.
Yeah.
You know, since Richard Nixon declared the war on cancer, we have 10 times more cancer. We have more people dying from cancer.
Right.
So, you know, instead, figure out what it means, what the purpose of the disease is. You know, because there's always a biological meaning and purpose to every illness. You understand that, then you can, you know, unravel it from the root up.
Now, for those listening or watching the show, I think there's a very powerful message in here from Dr. DeVette to parents out there. I mean, wouldn't you agree that parents, you got to be careful what you reward your children with, if you reward them with food or if you punish them with a lack of food or something. I mean, you are setting control patterns or programs in their brains that could play out, you know, for the whole lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you, you know, and it's not just what we feed our kids when they're stressed. You know, it's also, you know, there's specific links also between specific emotional stressors and certain foods. You know, if there's a separation from father, for example, at some point, or, you know, some kind of abandonment from father, we see more problems with wheat, so celiac disease and so forth, you know, during early childhood. And so, you know, so every food has a biological meaning too.
But, you know, conventional physicians and so-called skeptics, who, by the way, don't even believe in the existence of consciousness. They don't even believe in the existence of a spirit or a free will. They would say that what you're saying is nonsense, that there's no energetic quality to foods. It's just vitamins and minerals and dead fiber and proteins, and that's it. That's what they insist. That's it. That's all there is to it. Dead food is the same as living food. Processed food is the same. Just calories. That's all they care about.
That's why we have vitality rating. Every food has a vitality rating, and we're creating a lot of dead foods. And even live foods are being deadened because of what we're doing, you know, with GMOs and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that we store these foods on the shelf for weeks on end, shipping them from across the world, you know, green, and then gassing them to ripen them. You know, just all kinds of things we're doing with food. But the result is we're not getting any vitality. And vitality rating is analogous to light. Every food has a light content. And so when you're eating fresh organic foods from your backyard, for example, you're getting a livening with, you know, with every bite. You know,
so high vitality food up here would be wild-crafted foods, living foods, maybe sprouts in your kitchen. Beneath that would be fresh produce from the grocery store, which is pretty old food.
Uh-huh.
And then beneath that would be your Happy Meal.
Yeah. So you got your organic grocery foods, and you got your inorganic or non-organic grocery store foods, and then you've got your packaged, you know, and your canned vegetables, which are still better than you know, than the dead foods. But then you get down to the fast foods that we eat, you know, that are completely
dead. What about beneath dead foods? You have undead foods, actually zombie-infested foods. That actually, they mark your brain with BPA, and they put fluoride in the bottled water at the grocery store. I think we should have another layer below dead foods, undead foods.
Yeah, that's, you know, below dead foods, those foods that kill you. You know,
so, yeah. So, no, but they resurrect you in a zombie-like state.
Yeah, we see a lot of that, don't we? People that can't think for themselves anymore. The greatest danger in this country is willful ignorance that is becoming, you know, endemic. People just can't think straight anymore because of all the toxicity and, you know, environmental factors too.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. We're about to take a break here shortly, and I want to ask you about that on the other side. Also want to ask you to comment on this. Well, yeah, we're going to break here, so just a second. But folks, we're going to continue here on the Alex Jones Show with Dr. Peter DeVette. And I hope you've enjoyed this segment already. More with him on the other side, plus some news about a vaccine propaganda campaign for school children that encourages them to draw vaccine propaganda artwork. Yeah, stay with us. All that and more coming back here on the Alex Jones Show. Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of Natural News, filling in today for Alex, giving a big shout out to Alex, who I hope is having a great day. He's probably watching the drudgereport.com today, which is hosting a poll of who won the last debate last night. And can you guys bring that? There we go. I think there's a poll on there. Yeah. Anyway, if you're listening on the radio and you're wondering what this is all about, there it is. You can watch this broadcast at prisonplanet.tv, but the poll is who won the Charleston debate. And right now, go ahead and vote on there. Let's, so we can see the results. Vote for Ron Paul, of course. Don't accidentally. Okay. And the poll results right now are showing 44% for Gingrich and 29% for Paul. So Gingrich is ahead. I mean, what did he do? What did he do? Did he call up all his ex-wives and mistresses to vote for him on Drudge today or something? Come on, guys. We got to get this thing going for Paul. So everybody out there, go to drudgereport.com right now. Vote for Ron Paul on that poll. Let's get him up there where he belongs, in the lead above the, quote, open marriage candidate, Newt Gingrich. Oh, man. And Ron Paul would be in the lead if they would just give him a chance to speak and actually report the news, you know, honestly about him. But anyway, we're joined right now in studio in this segment by Dr. Peter DeVette. And one quick reminder, Alex Jones will have a video. We're going to be airing, broadcasting that video at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. A special report from Alex. He's filming that right now, or maybe it's already done, but we're going to be looking at that. Now, Dr. DeVette, who is a wellness practitioner in Texas, your clinic is in Tyler, Texas, right?
That's correct. Yeah, 90 miles east of Dallas, 90 miles west of Shreveport, right in the middle. The center of north of the universe.
No. Oh, okay. No. Well, it's accessible all around Texas, and he's the author of the book Heal Thyself. And I want to ask you about this. Here's a campaign of a pro-vaccine propaganda campaign. Health Canada sponsored an art contest. I don't know if you guys can get a shot of this, an overhead shot. Keep diseases away, get immunized, and they have little children drawing these artistic renditions of vaccines chasing away viruses and little germs. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no end to the indoctrination of our population, starting from childhood up. You know, they've done it to our university students, college students. Now they're doing it to our kids. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know how you know this brainwashing thing is going, and I think it's appalling that our kids are being dragged into it. You know, I guess they'll at least feel better about the sharp objects being stuck into them than they are. But I tell you, it's just amazing.
You notice they never have an art contest of children dying from vaccines.
No.
If a kid drew the art that showed a child dying from a vaccine, they'd probably be, their parents would be visited by CPS.
Well, you know, exactly. And of course, kids never die from vaccines. They die from other things that are caused by the vaccine. Again, you know, it's like,
right.
You know, it's like the tobacco industry. It took them 70 years to get the political system and the medical system and everybody else to acknowledge that cigarettes caused disease and cancer, and to actually take the tobacco companies to task. And here we are, you know, inflicting harm on our kids and our population in general. And even if a child develops autism 2 days after they got the vaccine, it's just chance.
they say it's chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't understand correlations or statistical significance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been good having you on the show here, Dr. DeVette. We're going to break now, and we'll be coming back with more news here on the Alex Jones Show. But I want to thank you and check out his website, QHIwellness.com, correct?
That's correct.
And the book, Heal Thyself, from Dr. Peter DeVette. Thank you for joining us in the studio today. It's been a pleasure having you on. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this break with more on the Alex Jones Show.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, and we're back already into the second hour here on the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us today. It's always an honor to be able to reach you with this kind of groundbreaking, revolutionary information we just heard from a revolutionary health practitioner, Dr. Peter DeVette. Hope you enjoyed that interview. We got into energy medicine, you know, the mental part, the mental aspects and spiritual aspects of healing. It was very powerful. And if you missed that, check it out. Check out the archives on prisonplanet.com. We got a ton of news to go through here. But first, I want to show you something really kind of sickening. Can you get an overhead shot on this again, too? I have an ad here from the 1950s, and it's an ad of 7-Up for infants. Now, if you're just listening on the radio, obviously you can't see it, but the ad shows an infant drinking a bottle of 7-Up right here, and it's a baby in a baby crib, actually. There's the baby crib behind it with a little teddy bear, and it says, "You like it, it likes you, the all-family drink." And the text goes like this, "Really got a grip on that 7-Up, haven't you, big boy? Go right ahead, fresh up to your heart's content. Mom knows sparkling crystal clear 7-Up is so pure, so good, so wholesome that folks of all ages, even little guys like you, can enjoy it often." And then it has a case of 7-Up called a family pack right here on the ad. And if you think I'm making this up, check it out on prisonplanet.tv. Yeah, this is what they used to do, folks. They used to actually market sodas to babies and get them hooked on it. There, I remember seeing actually baby bottle, the infant formula feeding bottles labeled with things like 7-Up and Mountain Dew and other things like that. And remember, this is crazy. Remember that segment from, what was it, last week? The Mountain Dew mouse? Where Mountain Dew, PepsiCo was being sued. A guy said he found a mouse in a can of Mountain Dew, and Pepsi's lawyers argued that no, that would be impossible because Mountain Dew would have dissolved the mouse into a jelly-like substance. Yeah, what a great defense. Yeah. So, and that's the stuff they were promoting, pushing onto children. Pretty sick, actually. But, you know, it's interesting that back then the sodas actually were made with cane sugar and not the high fructose corn syrup, which is much worse. So they actually were a little better back then. I should say a little less bad for you, but they've always had phosphoric acid in them. Let's get on to some news here. We just mentioned this in the last segment. An art contest for school children sponsored by Health Canada. Who can draw the best picture of vaccines keeping away all the evil little germs and bugs and viruses? And so they're pushing a Gardasil onto sixth graders and giving them little rewards for drawing these pictures. Ha! Keep diseases away. Get immunized. All right. Here's an article from Anthony Gucciardi. from naturalsociety.com. He's also a contributing writer to InfoWars as well as Natural News. Busted, Monsanto abusing illegal workers in slave-like conditions. This happened in Argentina, and this whole farm got busted where Monsanto, according to Natural Society, was, quote, forcing slave workers to work the cornfields for 14 hours a day and buy their food at highly inflated prices from the company store. Yeah, what goes hand in hand with GMOs? A little slave labor. Why not? It's all different forms of enslavement, right? Nutritional enslavement. It was even reported by Natural Society that the workers were prevented from leaving the farm premises, and if they did, their salaries would be withheld. Oh, yeah, I got to keep cranking out all that factory agriculture, factory textiles, and GMOs. Got to poison the world. That's what they think. And anyone who isn't on board gets punished for it, and they have their wages docked. That's how evil that whole system is. Anyway, we got a lot more ahead for you here, including mandatory vaccine trials being pushed by the AMA, more on SOPA, more on Ron Paul, all of that coming up right here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Yeah, welcome back, folks. This is Mike Adams filling in today for Alex Jones. You are listening to the Alex Jones InfoWars Worldwide broadcast. That's bringing you all the information you won't get anywhere else. Yeah, especially not in the mainstream media. Today we're going to be interviewing, coming up, Tisha Casita. She's running for Congress in Colorado, and she's a big advocate of food freedom, food rights. And in fact, she has spoken out against the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, of course, which strips away our Bill of Rights and due process. And so she'll be joining us in a few minutes. In the meantime, I want to cover some of these other important stories. Vaccine trials now being made mandatory, or I should say the AMA Journal wants them to be made mandatory. There was a piece published in the American Medical Association's journal, and it said we should have compulsory involvement in vaccine studies. In fact, Paul Joseph Watson covered this issue in a story on InfoWars.com. Compulsory involvement for the, quote, greater good of society. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So you want to inject me and my children and my neighbors with experimental vaccines laced with chemical adjuvants and mercury in some cases to see if they'll work? And this is my volunteer for society? Really? These people are pretty insane. Need I remind you of the history of government-sponsored big pharma medical experiments on Americans? Tuskegee? Need I remind you of the Guatemalan prisoner experiments that were funded by the U.S. government and conducted by scientists at the NIH? Need I remind you of Big Pharma's medical experimentation on other continents all around the world and how even the U.S. government has sprayed some cities in the United States with biowarfare agents just to see what would happen? Now they want to turn us all into guinea pigs so that they can approve more vaccines as being safe. And you know, the funny part about this story is that they say they need to do this because fewer and fewer people are agreeing to be used as guinea pigs. Well, gee, I wonder why. Maybe because they're dying. You know, maybe because they don't want to be a victim of a big pharma vaccine trial, and they're saying no. So the government wants to come along and draft you like you're a soldier going off to war. You're supposed to just roll up your sleeve and take a shot for the good of society. Be patriotic. Get yourself a vaccine shot, even a vaccine that's not approved yet. Be a human guinea pig for big pharma and the depopulation agenda and the infertility agenda that they pursue. Yeah, I could get more into that, but we do have Tisha Casita on the line with us now. And in introducing her, I just want you to know, well, I'll ask her for a website when she's on here. Here it is, Casita2012.com, and Casita is spelled C-A-S-I-D-A, just like it sounds, Casita2012.com. And I do not even know if she's running as a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian. I don't even know. I don't want to know. I don't care. What I care about is her position. And on her positions, she seems rock solid in the camp of liberty. So forget about the labels, folks, and welcome Tisha Kasita to the Alex Jones Show. Tisha, can you hear me? Are you on the line?
I can, Mike. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on. So what's on your mind these days?
Well, I'm very concerned about the intrusion of the federal government on the American people's liberties. And I first got interested in this subject partially because of the health factor. I'm a health nut. I do the organic thing. Very, very worried about these vaccinations that you're talking about and other insane things that they're putting into our food supply. And I'm worried, I'm concerned, and I want to stand up and do something great for my country.
So you're running for Congress. Good for you. What district are you in there in Colorado?
It's District 3, which is a portion of the southern part of the state and most of the western slope.
Ah, okay. So is Durango in that area?
Yep, Durango. We go all the way south to the border with New Mexico, west to the border with Utah, and all the way up around the Steamboat Springs area, which is the northern border with Wyoming.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So, wow, that's a big district.
It's huge. It's the size of Louisiana.
Yeah, wow. Well, there's a lot of great land out there, a lot of great folks out there. So are you up against a status quo person or an incumbent, or what's the situation?
Yeah, it's a Republican incumbent, and he was just elected in 2010. He, in the Republican primary, won against the Liberty candidate, which ran Republican, Bob McConnell. Bob McConnell is one of my friend's mentors and has endorsed our campaign because what he sees coming down the pipe. But he was a constitutionalist like myself. Unfortunately, the status quo establishment person got in there, and he's not getting back in 2012, I can guarantee it.
Wow. Colorado is a place where I hear a lot of people saying they're trying to get to in 2012 or beyond. You know, Colorado attracts a lot of people who want to be self-reliant, who want to be left alone, who want to live close to nature. There's a lot of great land out there. So, you must have a lot of great supporters out there.
We do. We have a great opportunity this year, but it is kind of the mentality of people who come here, and it's transcending the left-right paradigm. It doesn't matter if people lean left and call it sustainability or people lean right and call it self-reliance. People who live in my district and generally people who live in Colorado are more apt to be engaging in these types of things that make us more resilient as Americans. It's something that I've promoted and tried to speak to for a long time. And I think you do as well.
Yeah, I do. And so does Alex here every single day, almost every day except Saturdays. But what really attracted me to your position and is what motivated me to ask you on the show today is you were speaking out against NDAA. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to speak out against it. You're not. You have the courage to do that. Can you tell us your position on the National Defense Authorization Act?
Well, it's a complete atrocity to the American people that we have representatives that could even be discussing what they have discussed on the floor of our Congress. I'm appalled at most of our representatives in both chambers. I think that the verbiage is very loose, and I think it allows for a lot of interpretation. If my neighbor doesn't like me and he calls the Department of Homeland Security to tell him that I'm engaging in suspicious activity, I could be taken away without any due process and indefinitely detained. I'm an American. I am not the enemy. I am standing up and speaking out against a government that's doing some very scary things to our own people as well as to people around the world. And I will not live in tyranny, as one of my friends and mentors says, and I've adopted this for my own. Michael Badnarik has said this, you can kill me, but you can't scare me. And I refuse to be scared. I refuse to have fear, because fear is something that is in the future. It's not in the present. And those fear tactics, we have to stop listening to them if we're going to live in freedom.
Well, you sound like a Ron Paul supporter. Is that confirmed?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
10-4.
Well, very good. May I ask, I literally do not know what you're running as in terms of a party label. I don't even like party labels, but is that something you want to offer on the air?
Yeah, I don't like like them either, and I'm running unaffiliated or independent. I'm not running with any party.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah. I'm speaking for the people. People are so frustrated with the political parties. Our founding fathers warned against political parties. It's just another way to collude interests. And unfortunately, they become very corrupt, and neither of them really stand for what they say they're standing for. I'm sick of it. I'm standing for the people, and I'm representing the people. And the people of our district in this country need people to stand up and speak out for them.
You know, running as an independent is very, very challenging compared to being affiliated with a party. I mean, Jesse Ventura found that out in Minnesota in his run years back for governor, which he won. But he can tell you how difficult that was because they just go after you. Both parties go after you. How are you making your campaign work, and what can listeners do to help support you?
Well, we run off of money, and the more that we can get, the better. Really, we've had great support from all around the country. I'm a Liberty candidate. When I go to Congress, I'm speaking not only for my district, but I'm speaking out for the American people with all the unconstitutional things going on in government. So the more monetary support, they can go to Cassida2012.com and donate. That's really what's helping us run our campaign. Beyond that, if people are interested in joining with us, we have a growing group of supporters, again, all over the country as well as in our district, that are willing to help us at the grassroots level make signs, talk to people, get other people to our fundraisers, get people to town halls. It's very Ron Paul-esque in nature what we're doing. So,
well, that's how revolutions really happen. I mean, look at what happened with SOPA on the internet just the other day. All these websites blacking out, all the protests on Twitter and Facebook everywhere. That wasn't centrally organized. It was spontaneous from the people.
That's right. That's exactly right. And there's a consciousness taking place where more and more people are waking up to the tenets of liberty. And I don't care what political party affiliation you are, how much income you have. I don't care. We the people are waking up. Freedom is not an American thing. It's a human thing. And I think that we're going to enter a very interesting time in 2012, and I'm very excited to be a part of it and see so many more people engaging in the process of speaking out and actually being actionable.
You know, it's interesting that people like you are coming out of the woodwork in a good way. I mean, you're rising up, you're rising to the surface and seeking positions of influence, as you should, because it's in response to the tyranny that we're seeing in Washington. It's a backlash against the NDAA and the Enemy Expatriation Act and the destruction of the Bill of Rights. I mean, is that how, I mean, I don't want to call you a reactionary candidate, but you're certainly a revolutionary candidate.
Sure. Well, I've been personally impacted by government. I have a small business in Pueblo County and had a couple of experiences, which I wrote about, with my local government and how they treated me. And you know what? I feel like an enemy. When I drive on I-25, if I have expired license plates, all of a sudden I feel like an enemy.
Now, Tisha, hang on there. We're going to break right now, but will you stay with us so that we can continue on the other side of this break?
Sure.
All right, folks. Alex Jones here. I mean, Alex Jones Show here. Mike Adams filling in with Tisha Cassida. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yeah, we're joined by Tisha Cassida. She corrected me in the break about how I was pronouncing her name. Anyway, our website is Cassida, or Cassida is the Spanish pronunciation, Cassida2012.com. And she is a big Ron Paul supporter, and I wanted to ask for her comments on what happened in the debates last night. They were denying Ron Paul so much airtime. I mean, they were, you know how the mainstream media operates. They were shutting him down, giving all the time to everybody else. The audience got fed up with it, and the audience started booing the moderators. Let's go to that clip so you can listen in.
My point is if another country does to us what we do others, we're not going to like it very much. So I would say that maybe we ought to consider a golden rule in foreign policy. Don't do to other nations what we don't want to have them do to us. So we endlessly bomb these countries, and then we wonder why they get upset with
us. That's a common sense question.
And yet it continues on and on. I mean, this idea. This idea, this idea that we can't debate foreign policy, that all we have to do is start another war. I mean, it's warmongering. They're building up for another war against Iran, and people can't wait to get in another war. This country doesn't need another war. We need to quit the ones we're in. We need to save the money and bring our troops home.
Governor Romney.
You see how they were trying to cut his airtime there?
Is if another country does to us what we do others, we're not going to like it very much. So I would say that maybe we ought to consider a golden rule in foreign policy. Don't do to other nations.
That's the same. You can go ahead and stop that. The golden rule suggestion by Ron Paul. It makes total sense. What do you think about that, Tisha?
Well, about when he got booed for mentioning the golden rule for foreign policy, that was a scary point for me. I think it's very frightening that people one of my comments to that is, you know, people who want war have not experienced war.
Right.
You know, I've seen it. I was married to someone for a period of time who was a trooper, and right before 9/11, pre-Iraq, and then after Iraq, and it was horrible what I saw in these young men. And I think it's scary that we have people that want us to go and do more of this, not to mention the innocent lives that we're taking.
Well, the whole thing is insane, but you saw there that some of the audience, they've been indoctrinated by the mainstream media with this idea that we got to go bomb Iran, that we got to go nuke countries and kill people, and that's manly, and that's macho, and that's American, and that's patriotic. I think that's nonsense. I agree with Ron Paul. I mean, how can we expect to have peace if we keep dropping bombs on everybody else first?
Yep, that's exactly right. It's a couple of pills we're being fed, and we need to stop taking them. Because if you look again, it's this whole fear thing. Don't act in fear. Look around. Stop watching that box. Go outside and look around you. Are you at war? Are you at war when you go outside? No, you're not. No, we're not. We need to bring our troops back home and protect our borders and protect our people and stop killing innocent people, period.
No, but people have been brainwashed into thinking that there are imaginary terrorists hiding around every corner like they have imaginary friends when they were kids or leprechauns and fairies running around. I mean, you know, they think that there might be terrorists hiding in your underwear, and that's why the TSA can search down there at the airport. It's insane.
Well, it's that we're not looking at the taproot of the problem. And the taproot of the problem is that we're trying to be the world's policeman, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. That's how empires fall. This has happened before. You can just look at history. What we need to do is we need to have sound currency. We need to fix our own economic problems here at home. And the only thing that can create, we talk about creating democracy. We don't want to create democracy. We want to have republics. If anything, if we helped other nations, it should be republics, not democracies, just like our own country is supposed to be a republic. But what we need to do is focus on our own republic first. Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly. Well, good points there from you, Tisha. And I want to wish you the best with your campaign. And if you want to help Tisha Cassidy get elected, folks, check out her website, Cassidy2012 or Cassidy2012, might make it easier to spell. And she does, her success there will have implications nationwide. And Tisha, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mike. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I appreciate your comments. Now, you know, I can imagine if we do get into war with Iran, you know, and Ron Paul doesn't get elected president, I can just see now the bumper stickers in the year 2015 will say, I should have voted for Ron Paul. Because now we're in another war. Now we got more family members dead. Now our economy's tanking even more because gas prices are through the roof because of the oil embargo and the Strait of Hormuz and all of that. In fact, we're going to have Bob Chapman on in the third hour. I'm going to ask him about these same questions to see what his take is on them. We got a lot more ahead right here on The Alex Jones Show, including an interview with Ed Group, detoxing aluminum out of your body. That and much more straight ahead. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Oh,
Yeah, and we're back on this beautiful Friday here on the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in. And joining us in studio for this segment is none other than Dr. Edward Group III. He's the founder and creator of Global Healing Center. He's going to be talking to us about aluminum detox and many other interesting topics. He's a super smart guy, a genius of alternative medicine and healing. I'm very happy to have him here today. I had to beg him. I just had to beg him to get in here. And we'll go to him in just a second. But first, a couple things. In about half an hour or so, no, 40 minutes, Alex is going to chime in with his own video that he's been recording this morning. He's got, it's called The Internet Wars Have Begun. And this is going to be about SOPA. It's about Anonymous. It's about the Department of Justice. And you won't want to miss that. So stay tuned for that. Also, want to mention, we got to, as you know, fund the operation here. You know I'm a big fan of Enerfood. So I'm going to give them a little plug here. Enerfood right now, they got a great special going on. This is a superfood that I really enjoy. It's super high end. It's one of the few superfoods I've ever actually given an editor's award to. And I gave that award out several years ago before they were even a sponsor here on the InfoWars Network. Right now, you can call today at 866-762-9238. And you can get up to 25% off depending on how much you buy. That number again is 866-762-9238. That special ends today. So if you want to take advantage of that Enerfood special here on the InfoWars Network, call that number. Tell them Health Ranger sent you. I like this product. It's great. Now, continuing on the health subject, we are joined right now by Dr. Ed Group from Global Healing Center. Ed, thanks for joining me today.
It's great to be on. I'm a big fan of the show.
You are, yeah. You listen to Alex Jones quite a lot.
I've been listening to Alex Jones for years and been involved in, you know, the eugenics of what's going on with the population. And, you know, when you asked me to speak about aluminum, it's crazy the amount of aluminum people are exposed to right now, especially since they're spraying about 20 million tons of it in the air. And they're spraying a nanoparticles of aluminum, and that's actually converting or taking away the natural ozone that cleanses the air. And the reason why those chemtrails start looking white is because it converts to aluminum oxide, and now it's coming down and falling all over the snow, everything.
There's a geoengineering agenda here that InfoWars has exposed, and Aaron Dykes did some great work on that. But with you here, let's talk about the health implications. First, what are the main sources of aluminum toxicity? And then let's get into the detox strategies that really work.
Well, the main source of aluminum toxicity is coming from the air now, too. You can also inhale it from the shower. When you take a shower through the water, you can inhale it just out by the sea because it's mixing with the salt water. If you notice, they're spraying over the oceans right now because the aluminum mixes with the salts and gets into everything else. But deodorant, lipstick, hemorrhoid products, baking powder, anytime you go to a restaurant, you eat any type of bread, anything that has to be baked, most likely it has aluminum in it. Aluminum cans that people drink out of, even any type of food wrapping that's wrapped in aluminum. And I was talking about even going to purchase organic foods, and the organic foods and drinks still have aluminum linings in them. So
what we have here, for those on the radio, we have a bar, a food bar with an aluminum lining.
Yes.
And this is an organic bar of some kind?
That is a certified organic bar.
So we can still have aluminum even if it's organic.
So we still have aluminum. Yes, we do. And all the cans that are aluminum that are still coated with BPA.
Oh, yeah.
They still
have a double
dose. So it's a double dose. Yes.
What else you have there? What other containers?
This was a coconut water, an organic coconut water that has a aluminum lining in it as well. So I mean, even when you think that you're not getting any aluminum in your system, that you're doing good and you're eating organic and you're buying all kinds of organic foods, you still have to understand that you're probably most likely going to be exposed to aluminum.
We're going to clean this up afterwards, or Alex is going to think a pack of ravenous wolves came through his office and just started shredding food and leaving wrappers everywhere. Wrappers on the desk. But no, you're exactly right, Ed. Wrappers can have it. You mentioned deodorants. That's another one that a lot of people don't know. But if you look at conventional deodorants, there's an aluminum ingredient right there on the label.
Yes. Aluminum breast cancer has actually gone up because women put aluminum deodorants in the spray aerosol aluminum deodorants.
Right.
They can actually breathe it in, too, but the aluminum goes straight in, and aluminum is a neurotoxin. One strange thing is aluminum, when it mixes with mercury, if you were to take a drop of mercury and put some aluminum shavings on it, it has a violent reaction.
Really? Can we try that?
I would love to try that.
Yeah, do it right here.
YouTube video on it that you can actually watch and watch the reaction. But when you have mercury in your mouth and then you're putting aluminum in, or you have mercury in your body and it's going up to your brain and it's mixing with aluminum, cadmium, lead, all the other heavy metals, you know, who knows what type of reactions are taking place and how damaging that is to the body.
Well, but I mentioned that here on a previous show, that much of America today is poisoned with heavy metals and the lighter metals like aluminum. But there's so much brain poisoning that exists today. No wonder people can't realize that Ron Paul makes sense. You know, enough people. I mean, everybody should realize that we don't want another war. Everybody should realize that we want to control our own money supply and not have the Fed printing trillions of dollars and giving them out to the banksters. I mean, why, you know, do you agree that part of the metals poisoning explains the insanity?
It's already been proven. I mean, look at the kids that are being diagnosed with autism or attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity disorder. I mean, when you link all the metals together, they're neurological degraders, and it can mess with your thought patterns. It can cause depression. It can cause everything else to happen. I mean, there was a recent interview with teachers all across the United States, and they said that two-thirds to three-quarters of all the students have a chronic respiratory infection and cough right now.
Really?
Yes. The amount of aluminum has gone up from 2006 when they did analysis on the snow water at Mount Shasta. They found about 1,000 micrograms per liter of aluminum. In late 2009, they did a study again. They found 61,000 micrograms per liter of aluminum in the snow water, and the safe level is 0.5 micrograms per liter.
Oh, that's insane.
And the government is supposed to be called for emergency action if any aluminum is found at 1,000 micrograms or more. So that's 60 times the emergency level, and they still haven't been called in.
What is the agenda behind the aluminum poisoning? I mean, do you think that there's something going on here? There's a reason they're spraying it into the atmosphere. There's a reason they're putting it into the food supply. It's in more soils now than ever before, you know, like added on, in fact, through, you know, toxic fertilizers.
Well, it's amazing that the FDA has a GRAS rating for aluminum, generally recognized as safe, and there's over 2,000 adverse effects listed at the Natural Museum or the Library of Medicine, 2,000 adverse effects. I think it has to do with eugenics and continually degrading the immune system, because aluminum takes away the absorption of zinc and selenium. Zinc and selenium are both used to boost the immune system. That's why you're seeing such a deficiency in zinc from people. But also, Monsanto, their seeds, some of their seeds are resistant to metals. And
right.
Exactly. So if you can kill off, and pH levels for that matter. So what's happening is the pH of soil is increasingly getting higher.
More alkaline,
and you're seeing a destruction of crops. So what's going to happen with all this spraying eventually is you're going to see a decreased crop production, thereby leading to farmers having to buy seeds that are
from Monsanto,
you know,
and DuPont,
resistant to mercury, aluminum, and pH level.
All right, folks, you're listening to an interview here on the Alex Jones Show with Dr. Edward Group from Global Healing Center. The website is globalhealingcenter.com, just like it sounds. And he's a great formulator of detox solutions, many things there. I want to ask your opinion, Ed, on this new story today from naturalsociety.com by Anthony Gucciardi. Scientists say we should delay breastfeeding to improve vaccine potency. Get this, that mothers should not breastfeed anymore because the breastfeeding is interfering with the vaccines. And this is published in the Journal of Pediatric Infections and Diseases. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to hoax you right here on the air. What do you think about that?
Well, I've been a long-term believer that vaccines don't do anything but destroy the body. I mean, anytime you give a child a vaccination before their immune system is fully developed, before they're 11 or 12 years old, all it's going to do is completely wreak havoc. And then you add in all of the spermicides and the thimerosal and all the other vaccination contaminants, all you're doing is completely shutting that person down. So, I mean, that right there is just...
That's insane.
It's insane. I mean, you know, the way that they're pushing the flu shots, the way that they're talking about universal flu shots, I mean, all of it interacts together, and it's just designed to completely lower or knock out your immune system, and all it does is create more negative health conditions. And the poor children, I mean, you know, these are the main recipients that are suffering, and they don't know. I mean, if you ask a child, if you were able to communicate with a child and say, hey, can I put this shot in you, what do you think they would do? They would scream. That's why you see children screaming, because they know intuitively that it's bad for them. And then
right.
The parents put the vaccines in them anyway.
Okay, a couple more things, excuse me, that I want your input on. Excuse me, sorry about that. A doctor calls police and child services on a mother who refuses to vaccinate her son. This was published on Infowars.com. Rachel Garman, who said, I don't want to vaccinate my child, got the state troopers called on her. This is happening over and over again. They want to have mandatory vaccine trial participation where you can't say no. You're being automatically volunteered to be in the vaccine trial. Now they want women to stop breastfeeding because it's interfering with the vaccine. And then we have this other story over here. This poor child was given 9 vaccines and died within a matter of days. I mean, how criminal is this? I mean, these are crimes that we're looking at.
And the fact that the government came up with a bill that vaccine companies are not going to be held liable for any damage. So, I mean, what
right,
do
of course.
You do about it?
Of course.
I mean, you know, the best thing we can do is just continue to educate people about the damaging effects of vaccinations and what they can do to avoid them. And hopefully one day, you know, people will join together and we'll be able to stop all these chemicals and stop all these vaccinations from being injected into people. And we won't have to worry about our children, you know, growing up with decreased immune systems or the risk of developing some sort of disease early on in life, cancer or neurological disease. I mean, they're trying to dumb the children down by cutting down all these neurological pathways. And if you look at the way mercury reacts on neurons, it literally destroys the covering of the nerves, melts it away.
All right. Now, we promised the listeners that we would get into some solutions. And you're an expert on that. In fact, you are probably the expert on detox of heavy metals and BPA and things like that. What can you tell people that is practical that they can start doing now to either avoid absorbing aluminum or to get aluminum out that they may have already absorbed?
Well, yes, we've specialized in detoxing everything. I've been detoxing Gulf War Syndrome stuff, Corexit, I mean, you name it. But the main thing is the best and fastest way is to avoid any aluminum. Get rid of your aluminum cookware, stop drinking out of aluminum cans, stop using aluminum deodorant, switch to natural makeup. You don't use aluminum-based baking powder. And then what's worked the best for us is a mixture of a purified zeolite, fulvic acid, or humic acid, which contains 15 times the amount of receptors than EDTA does.
Really?
And what most people don't know is detoxified iodine is extremely effective at detoxing not only aluminum, but other aluminum is not necessarily a heavy metal, but right. Other heavy metals like mercury, cadmium, fluoride, those toxins as well. Detoxified iodine will immediately excrete those from the system. If you have a far infrared sauna, that's another good thing. Modified citrus pectin, cilantro, chlorella, those are all different types of substances that we use in a super concentrated extract.
So most of those, I mean, that's all orally taken, so it's pretty easy for people.
It's very easy. And right now, with the amount of chemicals and metals that we're seeing in people and children, it's almost to the point where you have to take something at least once a week to keep the metals or the contaminants or chemicals out of your
body. What about bentonite clay? A lot of people talk about clay absorbing metals. Is that, but clay, some clay can have aluminum in it.
Exactly. Exactly. Some clay can have aluminum and other metals in it. It's not a bad way to detox. You can make an apple cider vinegar with Himalayan crystal salt bath and put some clays in there if you really need to suck it out through the skin, a hot bath, but then make sure that you use a shower filter or some sort of water filter, because you're going to be putting the chemicals from the tap water into the shower,
right,
which are going to include some of the same chemicals you're trying to get rid of.
I want to also be really clear to those scientists who are listening. They will probably point out, you know, aluminum is one of the most common elements in the Earth's crust, along with zinc, for example. Aluminum is very common. You know, it's in the soils. But what we're talking about here is, you know, you can get aluminum in foods. There's a little bit of aluminum in a tomato, for example, or a sweet potato. But that's organically bound aluminum, which has been processed by plants. And you're not going to absorb that in the same way that you have an inorganic aluminum, and sort of an industrialized, you know, raw aluminum from ore that's being sprayed in the atmosphere and, you know, and put in deodorant and other things. I mean, there are different types of aluminums in a sense. I mean, different levels of reactions biochemically.
Yes. I mean, the raw aluminum can be processed in many different types: aluminum oxide, nanoparticles of aluminum, aluminum hydroxide, aluminum sulfate, many different things. I mean, toothpaste contains it. There's just so many items now that come in contact with it. But like you said, anything that's taken from the earth that's synthetically manufactured into some other form or compound that can be patented and that can be sold,
yeah,
or used for destructive methods, that's what's happening with aluminum.
Well, you also got to look at the history of mercury. You know, mercury was used as medicine for a very long period of time, and people would take mercury, and because of the inflammatory side effects, they would feel great for a little while. I mean, they would get erections from taking mercury, and they thought it was like the Vioxx of the 1800s. I mean... not the Vioxx. What's the Viagra? Sorry, yeah. I guess I got to get my drug vocabulary a little better filled in there. I don't use them, so I don't say the names every day. But Viagra of the 1800s was mercury.
You know, mercury is another one of those damaging things that's everywhere. With all the coal fire power plants, it's another thing that's just soaking into the air and completely being infested in all of our foods, all of our produce, and especially with the dental amalgams. I mean, there's been, you know, fights against that for a long period of time. And like I was saying earlier, whenever you mix all these metals together, nobody can tell you what the side effects of the damage is. It's like what we were talking about when you take one prescription medication. By the way, metals are in medications as well. You take one prescription medication, you take two prescription medications, no one can really tell you the side effects of what's going to happen when both of those combine.
Right.
And you add 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 prescription medications, and then you just have a whole disarray of what's going on inside the body.
And we're about to go to break, but real quick, what about the vaccine manufacturers lied about, they said that we were taking thimerosal out of the vaccines, but they didn't. They're still in there. Real quick.
Well, they just reduced the amount that they would have to state on the labels, so it wouldn't be... they didn't have to disclose it. I think it was down to like 0.25 micrograms or something.
All right,
like
but it's
that.
Still in there, folks. Stay
still
with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back after this break with more from Ed Group. Stay with us. We are back. Yeah, I hope you're enjoying the show today. Our interview with Dr. Edward Group from Global Healing Center, an expert in metals detoxification and other detox. I want to ask you about BPA too, by the way, but real quick, we're going to take calls for Dr. Group at the top of the hour. So if you want to call in, the number for that is 1-800-259-9231. Again, 1-800-259-9231. We'll probably only have time for a couple of quick questions. That's at the top of the hour. Also, at 8 minutes past the next hour, Alex Jones has his special video report on SOPA, and it's called The Internet Wars Have Begun, special report that he filmed just this morning. So don't miss that. It's coming right up. There's a lot happening on that front. Back to you, Ed. What about BPA? You know, hey, there's a lot of guys out there that are getting male breasts now because of BPA. There's a lot of women with infertility problems. I'm not trying to make light of it. It's a serious issue, and it's making us less human. I mean, it's transforming us into mutants.
Well, BPA was basically used for estrogen replacement in the 1930s, and interesting enough, my dad was one of the ones that worked on different types of plastics and was a co-developer of PVC and different types of polycarbonates. So, and he came out with a study saying it was cancer causing. And then mysteriously a couple weeks after that, he was, you know, dead of throat
really?
Cancer. Yep, that's what happened to my dad. He was a chemist, one of the chief chemists for Exxon. So he was the one that was involved in a lot of plastics. That's what I'm saying. It's funny you mentioned BPA because I've been trying to study his reports, and I saw, you know, all the effects he was starting to come out with later on in his life, saying the damaging effects of these things.
Uh-huh.
And when he submitted a study saying that it could cause cancer, then mysteriously he was dead 2 weeks
later. Wow. So your dad was really involved in pioneering some of the plastics technology, and now you are spearheading the removal of plastics and heavy metals from people's bodies.
Exactly.
It's
weird how things
work like
that.
It's like a superhero episode. Isn't there a Spider-Man metaphor in here somewhere? You're like,
yes, but bisphenol is incredibly toxic. I mean, you know, when you combine all the toxins that people put in their body, I've been saying this for years, it's a combination and accumulation of toxins that come in from the foods that we eat, from the beverages that we drink, from the vaccines, from the pharmaceuticals, from the stress levels that you're under, that your body creates its own toxins. I mean, it's very simple when you understand that the accumulation of too many toxins coming in the body and not enough coming out of the body is the main cause of disease and what we're fighting with today. So by cleansing the body, getting all that stuff out, changing your diet, you know, moving to eliminating those toxins on a regular basis, that's going back to increasing and activating your body's own self-healing mechanism, which we talk about. We have the power to heal ourselves within. We just need to activate it. And the reason why we can is because we're overloaded with too many toxins and chemicals coming in.
Well, speaking of overload with toxic chemicals, the FDA has just approved a new drug that helps to eliminate the toxicity of chemotherapy. So just to get this straight, the FDA says that prolonged exposure to chemotherapy treatments can cause kidney and liver damage, skin rashes, severe mouth sores, damage to the lining of the intestines, and death because of low blood counts. And now they've approved another drug to remove the toxicity of the first chemotherapy drug that's killing you. Can you believe this?
I can believe that, yes, because, I mean,
it's called Varoxane.
I've never heard of it, but I mean, we all know that chemotherapy is extremely damaging. I mean, they have the complete opposite way to treat disease. I mean, that's how far we've gone down in learning about the body. Instead of addressing the root cause of the problem, our main focus is address the symptoms of the problem. So okay. Now they're addressing the symptoms of that.
All right, stay with us here, folks, on the Alex Jones Show. More on the other side of this break with Ed Group, plus your calls straight ahead. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, welcome back to our third hour here on the Alex Jones Show. I'm obviously not Alex Jones. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. But Alex is going to make an appearance, or at least via video. He's just been filming a special segment that's going to air in just a few minutes, in about 8 minutes, in fact. But between now and then, we're going to be taking calls for Dr. Ed Group, the founder of Global Healing Center. That's the right domain name, isn't it?
Yes.
GlobalHealingCenter.com, specializing in detox. He's just given us a wealth of information on aluminum detoxification. Let's go to our callers right now. Tara in Virginia, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mike. I enjoy your website. I'm sorry for stuttering. This is the first time I've been on. Dr. Group, I have two small children, preschoolers. One's 3 and one is 4. And I've been on this awakening journey since about August because of thinking about Fukushima and why isn't EPA telling us about all of the dangers from it.
Go ahead, Tara, with your question.
My question is, what do I do to try and detox my kids? My little boy is starting to exhibit some emotional. He's very, very swings one way to the other on emotions. It's kind of uncontrolled, and it's not the way that he has always been. It's just sort
okay,
of.
Okay, so. Wild.
I think it's because of the stuff. I mean, I've done everything I can do to keep him. They had glass baby bottles, no BPA.
Well, good for you. Now, let's go ahead. Go ahead. Answer the question. And thanks for the call, Tara.
That's a good question, because with a lot of children, when you're looking at detoxification methods, some of them aren't really recognized as safe, or you don't know the proper amount of herbs to give children a lot of times. But what I've found works the best for children and is extremely safe for children is I use an oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, which actually releases monatomic oxygen into their bowel, which is completely safe. And I also am a big fan of the detoxified nascent atomic iodine. There's a few manufacturers out there that produce that, and that will also help detoxify a lot of the metals and a lot of the chemicals from their system in a safe way. There's also formulas that combine the herbs, cilantro, chlorella, cell wall fractionated blue-green algae, zeolites together that are completely safe to use with children. And that's one of the things we've specialized in is, and we have calls every single day from mothers just like yourself that really want to help children. And not only if you're seeing it's globalhealingcenter.com, but not only are you because your children are suffering from symptoms, but even children these days that aren't suffering from symptoms should still be doing detoxification.
All right, great question, great answer, Ed. Sorry to interrupt. Let's go to Chris in California. We only have time probably for your call. Chris, you're on the air with Mike Adams and Ed Group. Go ahead, please.
Hello, gentlemen. I'd like to talk about the chemtrail spraying and the nano aluminum particles that are filling our skies. I live out here in California, and where I live, it's usually very cold at this time of year, but the last few weeks, it's been about 70 degrees in the afternoon, where it's normally maybe 50, and it gets down to as cold as 20 degrees at night. And what I've noticed was ever since they started, I've been following this stuff about the chemtrail since about 2000. And everything when they do the chemtrail spraying.
All right, you have a question for Ed? I'm sorry to rush. You got a question?
Yes, and I was just wondering how much are the chemtrails contributing to the increase of aluminum in the soil and
okay.
the water?
Great. Thanks for the call.
Extremely amount. The amount of chemtrails and aluminum in the air from 2006 to now is 50,000 times the amount that they were spraying. So you're looking at 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticles. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And all across the United States and all over the world, you're seeing an increase, 50,000 time increase in just a few years.
All right. That was Dr. Edward Group. I want to thank you for joining me in the studio today, Ed. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me on anytime, Mike.
Yeah. And folks, here. If you want Ed back, you know, send an email to InfoWars. I love this guy. He's got a ton of knowledge. Stay with us. We got Alex Jones video straight ahead on the other side of this break, right here on the Alex Jones Show. Be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
If you're just joining us today, this is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex. And Alex has a special video that he filmed this morning on all the breaking news about SOPA, about the blackouts on the internet, about the Justice Department, about Anonymous having going back and attacking the RIAA, the MPAA, shutting down a bunch of sites. This video, which is 8 minutes long, is called The Internet Wars Have Begun. It's from Alex Jones. It's fresh off of his webcam that he just filmed it on. We're going to roll that right now, then we'll be back on the other side. Go ahead and roll that.
The internet wars of the 21st century are upon us. Our entire world, all commerce, every human activity globally is now being wired through the internet, and its importance is only going to intensify. Of course, it was designed by DARPA and the major Defense Department laboratories as a system to control and track commerce. They told the public it was done to survive a nuclear war. But the program that grew out of that is a system of panopticon surveillance. Now, the internet's a double-edged sword. The people of the world have used it to communicate, to organize. A true, alternative, diverse press has grown. And the system now that they've gotten us addicted to the web is attempting to move in with a program of control to begin curtailing and shutting down the internet as we know it. So in this special report on the heels of the whole SOPA fight, I want to break down just some of the basics here, because SOAP is only the tip of the iceberg. We have the intellectual property treaties that the U.S. is trying to sign that brings in SOPA-style censorship and control worldwide. It's not just SOPA, so these are the threats here. We have domestic laws like SOPA and the IP Act and others. We have all of this going on. Continuing, we have people like Google delisting Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and many other alternative anti-establishment sites from the Google News search. Not the web search, but the Google News search. They've also lowered our listings and other alternative media listings in the general everything web search. That's a huge issue going on. And again, Google acts like that you know they're stopping news aggregators when they are a news aggregator and globally make up about half of what we know as the internet right now, and they're big globalists, obviously, that go to the Bilderberg Group and other meetings. We're also seeing preferred site preference with the big internet service provider companies themselves and the cable companies, where establishment media is being pipelined quicker to people. And if you're not part of the establishment, if you have a dog grooming business or a little local newspaper or whatever the case is, or startup TV system, you're beginning to be censored. And that's the whole peer-to-peer discussions and the whole debate about keeping the internet open and free and basically allowing equal access. So we've got that entire system going on. We also have the built-in surveillance of the internet and all the devices that tie into the internet. I mean, everything from washing machines to other appliances, not just your computers, are all tying into the internet. The smart meters that government uses to not just control how hot and cold your house is, but also decide and track what you're doing and decide how much to charge you and penalize you if they say you're using too much power. It's a total control system. The cell phones now being pre-wired with back doors to have your information downloaded and to have government without a warrant be able to dial in and listen to you audibly or track where you are in real time. The point is they're setting the infrastructure of the web that ties into everything to totally track and control us. Remember Jesse Ventura's TV show? The police state episode that I worked on so much that exposed the FEMA camp, NDAA, martial law program before the system was admitting all of this last year. Time Warner Cable and others, we got internal documents, sent actual notices out to their local Time Warner facilities and TiVo and others to go into your DVRs and to remotely erase what was on them. So the point is, they can totally take down anything they want. They could ban my voice across the internet with the Shazam-type software. It's put out the order, and then it starts erasing it everywhere, claiming that it's copyright. Any voice print, any music, anything they want. It's in the Kindles, where they erased thousands of books last year that people had bought. That they'd already paid for just as a test to see if they could do it. You think you own the Kindle. You think you own the software. You think you know. You don't. It's running you. It's controlling you. It's spying on you, and you waive your rights when you sign on to this. So these are ways the web is changing, the whole architecture, but not just the web, our entire society, our entire world. This is a system wide attack. Then there's cybersecurity. The Pentagon announcing in all four branches of the military that they'll control the web. They'll preemptively attack sites that they don't agree with politically. You've got Cass Sunstein at the White House saying they'll go out and pose as alternative media to cause infighting. And then in the future, they want to have laws to arrest conspiracy theorists. He said people that don't believe in man-made global warming. Whether you believe in that or not, that's your free speech. He's saying arrest you. I mean, this is mainstream news. He says this with a straight face, and now the Pentagon's involved in it. Not just in arresting citizens secretly, but saying they'll shut down whatever they want on the web, separate from law. All of this is already going on. So we just saw last night, mega download, people arrested, no due process, millions of users. They'll shut down thousands of sites to get just one user who's supposedly uploading copyright stuff. Mega download was just an index for people to communicate with each other. Instead of going after the individuals downloading it, they go after the entire system. And this is happening more and more. We're also just seeing all sorts of other attacks, regulations, calls for taxation, state governments, international governments going after it, because the globalists are monopoly men. They let you populate the web, fund it with all the software and things that you buy, and your internet company paying your bill for bandwidth every month. And now they want to come in and start shutting down the web that humanity has built and that is quasi-free and convert it completely over to a highly controlled system. They admit this. They call it Internet 2 and advertise it as if it's something new. So this is what's happening. And this is only part of the attacks that are going on. And it's incremental, so it's harder for people to notice. But it's not just governments trying to restrict. It's corporations already doing it. And so that's why we fight on all of these different platforms and establishment systems like Google and YouTube, because they advertise it as YouTube. The community builds it. Now they're making it where the communities can't communicate and they can push the content they want at you. They use our energy to build the system like slaves, and then they shut it down and consolidate it as monopoly men. For free society, for innovation, for everything, we need to keep the web free and move towards more freedom, not less. But there has been a clear launch of all this stuff they've beta tested to begin to really chop up and curtail freedom on the web. The internet war has begun in 2012. They're moving at warp speed on every front, not just with NDAA and SOPA and the American Medical Association 2 days ago called for forced inoculations nationwide publicly. The tyrants are coming out of the closet because they know we're waking up and there's a global renaissance happening. So they're coming in with both feet to try to shut us down. Please get this report out to everybody. It's so great to see humanity energized fighting SOPA, but that's only the beginning. There's so many other issues and people are really starting to pay attention. And that's what's exciting. God bless all of you out there that are fighting for freedom. Let's defend free speech, not just here in the U.S., but worldwide. I'm Alex Jones, signing off from the front lines of the InfoWar. Learn more at InfoWars.com.
All right, that was a special report from Alex. Thank you, Alex, for doing that this morning. And there's a follow-up to that. Alex and Kurt Nemo are working on a special report that will be out, an expanded version of what you just heard. And Kurt is back there plugging away on that right now. That's going to be published here on InfoWars. I'm sure it'll be a website article. Not sure where the video is going to appear after that, but you will be kept informed. Stay tuned also. Remember, Alex has his show on Sunday, and I'm sure he'll be covering this in more detail at that time. As Alex just mentioned in the video, the internet war is really on. Wednesday, January 18th will be remembered as a moment in history when the internet became a political force to be reckoned with. And perhaps yesterday, the 19th, will be remembered as the day in which Anonymous demonstrated that it is also a political force to be dealt with. It literally does have the power to shut down many websites at will. And that's something that governments don't like to have to deal with. But I think it's too late for the government. They're trying to shut down the internet, shut down free speech. They're trying to engage in widespread censorship, and they're too late because we already saw the big public backlash against it on Wednesday. And as Alex said, though, this is just the beginning of that war for freedom. Remember, the internet is the last place where we still have free speech intact, and it's under threat now by both SOPA and PIPA bills. We do have some updated news on that, by the way. The PIPA Senate vote has been delayed. Senator Reid announced last night. That's probably, of course, in reaction to all of the protests that took place on Wednesday. Now, you know how these people work, these crooks in Washington. When something has light on it, when it's being exposed, they'll back away from it. They'll say, oh, we're going to shelve that bill. Don't worry about it. We're going to wait until we have consensus. Those are their words exactly. But then in the middle of the night, probably on a holiday, maybe on upcoming Valentine's Day or something like that, they will find a way to sneak it through, sign it in the dark of night, just like President Obama signed the NDAA on New Year's Eve when half the country was plastered with alcohol. That's the kind of thing that they engage in right here in America. So we have to stay vigilant on this or we will lose our freedom. And the internet is the last place where that freedom remains intact. So it is essential that you defend it and defend the rights of folks like InfoWars.com to keep bringing you the truth. I mean, that's what we do here. Stay with us. We have more videos and more news coming up right after this break. This is the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back. Crew member here at InfoWars just brought in a very interesting packet from a food establishment here in Austin. It's a packet of crushed red peppers by Papa John's, and it says right on the front here, it says, crushed red peppers treated with radiation. I'm showing that on the TV there. Treated with radiation, and it's got a little radiation icon on it, which shows like a sprouting little plant with some dotted lines over it to try to make radiation look all friendly. There it is. Treated with radiation. There we go. Cute little radiation icon. It's all friendly. Yeah, little plant. Of course, in reality, radiation kills plants. It should show a skull and crossbones on this. Why would a pizza company brag on its red pepper pack that it's been treated with radiation? Maybe they should call it Fukushima red peppers. Straight out of Fukushima, extra radiation to boost your energy. Oh, yeah, that's what's coming next. Well, odds and ends that are just amusing and sad at the same time. Now, moving on to perhaps more important topics, we've got a video from Ron Paul commenting, not just commenting, but actually proposing a law that would repeal the indefinite detention segments of the National Defense Authorization Act. And this is crucial. It shows once again that Ron Paul is a constitutionalist, a restorationist, and he wants to get these illegal elements of the bill, just smack them down, get them out of the picture, bring back and restore our liberty. Let's go right to that video. Go ahead and roll that, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise today to introduce a very simple piece of legislation to repeal the infamous Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act, quietly signed into law by the President on New Year's Day. What a way to usher in the new year. Section 1021 essentially codifies into law the very dubious claim of presidential authority under over 2001 authorization for the use of military force to indefinitely detain American citizens without access to legal representation or due process of law. Section 1021 provides for the possibility of the U.S. military acting as a kind of police force on U.S. soil, apprehending terror suspects, including Americans, and whisking them off to an undisclosed location indefinitely. No right to attorney, no right to trial, no day in court. This is precisely the kind of egregious distortion of justice that Americans have always ridiculed in so many dictatorships overseas. A great man named Solzhenitsyn became the hero of so many of us when he exposed the Soviet Union's extensive gulag system. Is this really the kind of a United States we want to create in name of fighting terrorism? Some have argued that nothing in Section 1021 explicitly mandates holding Americans without trial, but it employs vague language, radically expanding the detention authority to include anyone who has substantially supported certain terrorist groups or associated forces. No one has defined what those terms mean. What is an associated force? Sadly, too many of my colleagues are too willing to undermine our Constitution to support such outrageous legislation. One senator even said about American citizens being picked up under this section of the NDAA, quote, when they say, I want a lawyer, you tell them, shut up. You don't get a lawyer, close quote. Is this acceptable in someone who has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution? Mr. Speaker, of course, I recognize how critical it is that we identify and apprehend those who are suspected of plotting attacks against Americans. But why do we have so little faith in our judicial system? Have we not tried in civilian court and won convictions of hundreds of individuals for terrorist or related activities? I fully support continuing to do so. But let us not abandon what is so unique and special about our system of government in the process. I hope my colleagues will join my effort to overturn this shameful section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act. And I yield back.
Well, there you go. Words, strong words, very powerful words from Ron Paul. And the way that I know that I live in a nation where some of the people are truly insane is that they're not supporting this guy. That's crazy. He makes the most sense. He's the only one who honors the Constitution, who honors the rule of law, who wants to restore that rule of law in our nation. He should have 99% of the support.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go. Me, oh my.
Yeah, some good tunes you guys are choosing today. Yeah, some southern Louisiana tunes for us here. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams filling in for you today. And in this segment and for the rest of the show, we're joined by none other than Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. I've got a ton of questions for Bob. Help us analyze and break down what we've been witnessing here over the last few days with SOPA, with the anonymous attacks, with the Justice Department, with the price of oil, war with Iran, Ron Paul, everything. Bob, are you with us?
I am.
Hey, great to have you on again, Bob. Good to be with you today. What are you making of all of this that's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, there's certainly some tremendous cross currents. Price of oil seems to hang around $100 a barrel, although there doesn't seem to be any imminent threat of war other than a great bill is being amassed for the cost of the operation. And I don't know if you knew it or not, but the United States government has volunteered to pay that bill for not only their own Navy, but anybody else who joins in.
Wow, so the other nations are now mercenaries working for the Pentagon, huh?
You could say that. But I think this is a little game they're playing here. I don't think they're logistically in position to do what they want to do yet. And it could be 6 months, a year, longer. Who's to say?
Well, do the other nations, do they realize they're going to get paid in fiat currency? I mean, or are they going to demand gold?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should say that, because normally they would believe that they were just getting paid in U.S. dollars and that was okay. But I've been doing the show for about 8 years, and it goes directly to the Marines, the Navy, and all of the other branches, and it goes to the active as well as the retired military. Tremendous audience. And they know, because they've been listening to me for 8 years. And so those guys on shipboard can't wait to get back to exchange their money into gold. And I'm not fooling. That's the truth.
Wow. Well, hey, what do you make of this video we just showed of Ron Paul saying that he wants to introduce a bill to remove the section of the NDAA, the indefinite detention section? Do you think that has any chance whatsoever in Congress of becoming law?
Well, I'm not in Congress or close to it, so I don't know. But I do know this, that by saying such a thing as a reliable possible nominee for the Republican nomination to be president of the United States, I would say it has great import. People are going to say, my goodness, I mean, what the heck is wrong with that thing? What is it? And they're going to start looking into it, and they're going to find out that Ron was right. And I think you might call it a propaganda coup.
Yeah. Well, Ron was right. I think that's going to be the new bumper sticker in the years ahead. Ron was right. Let me ask for your take also on Ron Paul in the debates last night when he started mentioning the golden rule that, you know, we should treat other nations the way we want them to treat us. Some of the audience members began to boo at that moment. That's kind of sick. What's your take on that, Bob?
Well, I hate to say this, but I got to. Any audience that boos or something like that does not have their head screwed on straight.
I totally agree with you. It's anti-American. It's anti-Christian values. It's anti-natural law. I mean, the Golden Rule is one of the basic fundamental laws of the universe, really. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But I guess in America, the new Golden Rule is do unto others as they would do unto you, but do it first.
And most powerfully.
Yeah,
and we were talking about that for the last 50 years. And, you know, you've got a wonderful point here, and so didn't he in saying so. He separated the wheat from the chaff there. It gives you an excuse for failure because you got a bunch of bunglers in the audience who are saying, yeah, who cares about God? Who cares about the guy next door? Who cares about anything? So it was framed properly.
Well, and, you know, in addition to some audience members booing that comment by Ron Paul, which probably was staged anyway, just the way that the entire debate is staged to make sure that Ron Paul doesn't get much airtime, they strip away time from him. Remember the debate where he only got 89 seconds to actually answer questions? I mean, isn't this just more of this total campaign, this fabricated framing of the situation to minimize any impact that Ron Paul might have in reaching people?
Certainly. There's no doubt. They're trying to do everything they can. They're frightened, and they should be. Here's a man who has led an exemplary life, which has not been the case of most of the others. I mean, wife swappers and bisexuals, and oh, we had a real group in there.
And then that's just Speaker of the House.
I get this morning. Statement by somebody out of Washington. Are you kidding me? 50% of the people who are in Congress are bisexual or perverts.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
And I, by the way, I didn't mean the present Speaker of the House in that comment. I meant historically, you know, going back to Newt and what's come out about him. Sorry to interrupt, Bob. Go ahead.
No, I covered it. But please pick up on it.
Oh, no. Well, there's just so much to go over. There's news coming out now. Well, first of all, I listened to your interview last Friday with Alex here on the show, and some questions came up that I really wanted to ask you. You know, you and I have something quite in common, which is that we've both lived outside the United States in many different countries, and we both speak many different languages, and we've seen, you know, outside the country and inside the country. So I wanted to ask you, do you think that these kind of people in America who would boo a Golden Rule type of comment from Ron Paul, do you think that they lack a global perspective on what the real world is really like? Because America is worth saving. America is a great nation, and you won't know it, though, unless you really lived in a lot of other places that are far, far worse.
Well, everybody doesn't have that luxury. You and I have, and that's nice. But many of these people have not been several hundred miles from their home. And there are people who are intellectually and internationally refrit of information, and it's always going to happen. And I guess it's people that we just have to put up with. We can't go running around saying, well, you don't know anything about anything, so you can't vote, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so there's very, very, very few people who have had the opportunities that you and I have had.
Well, that's true, and that's something that we need to honor, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm here. I know that's why you're joining, Bob, because I think we all feel a sense of duty to the people who are our brothers and sisters out there. We feel a sense of duty to serve their interests, to protect the freedoms that we have. You know, those of us who do really understand these issues, and there are more and more of us, all the InfoWars listeners and fans and so on, I mean, we have a duty to stand up and support Ron Paul and fight for this freedom, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that's absolutely true, and that's why we do what we do. It's interesting, I ran into a man in his early 60s today, and as you know, I live down in Latin America. So I looked at him and I said something in English, and he started speaking English, which is not unusual. And I said, in the process of talking, I said, well, did you live in the United States for any period of time? You speak like, you know, you're from Los Angeles. And the guy looks at me and he says, well, he said, I really learned my English in La Puente, California. And I said, really? I used to live in Hacienda Heights on the hill right above your town. And what I'm saying here is a small world, and people are the same everywhere.
Well, that's so true.
They all get up and get dressed the same way, and their desires are basically the same. You know, once you adapt to another culture, and that's what we'll call it, it's wonderful because you learn a whole bunch of new nuances to life that you never considered before. It's such a joyous experience being able to live in other places.
It reminds me of in World War II, on Christmas Eve, the legend goes that the soldiers from the Axis forces and the soldiers from the Allies, they put down their guns and they joined together and sang Christmas carols. I don't know if that's true. I think it's true. I think it's historical. And they did that out of a sense of brotherhood and humanity. They weren't at war with each other, not the people. It was the tyrants that were leading the wars. And I think the same is true today. I mean, if we had Iranian citizens right here sitting next to me today, I wouldn't have any disagreement with them. You know, why do the people have to fight the wars for the tyrants that are pulling the strings?
Well, that's a good question, and that's what we're trying to stop. The incident was the First World War. It was 1917. It was on the Western Front, and that actually happened. And I think it might have been an idea that created the book by Eric Maria Remarque called All Quiet on the Western Front.
Mm.
That book didn't end up that way. To me, I was a great disappointment to me when I read it back in, I guess, the 1950s. But I think that story was drawn from that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, why did, when Germany was getting, as a military nation, as they were getting swallowed up, why would 3,000 paratroopers drop onto a frozen lake and somewhere within either Ukraine or Russia fight back the Russians who were storming them, get on planes which were able to fly off the ice, and they got almost everybody out?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has nothing to do with winning a war. It's survival. And it brings back to what you said. You know, what was that all about? It was that was about their both their love of life and the Creator.
You know, speaking of survival, we had a story here on InfoWars. I think this was covered yesterday. I don't have the name of the analyst who covered this, but it was a financial analyst who says that he expects real civil unrest, armed civil unrest in America in 2012. I mean, we've heard these warnings before, and it's not a situation that either one of us, you or I, want to see. But what if it comes down to survival in America? Do you think Americans still have, or enough Americans have, that sense of basic fundamental survival? Or are they just going to lay down and let the government roll over them with tanks?
We have enough. What do we need? 15%. That's really it.
Yeah, you're right.
And if the government decides that they're going to send the military out to round people up, and your own family happens to be in the cordon group to be picked up, well, I don't think it's going to go down too well with Sergeant So-and-so, you know, just put his mother and father on the truck to be sent off to some camp to be exterminated.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other issue
I think that's where it's going to break.
Yeah, if they're ordered to actually start firing upon.
And you're not, they are not going to get weapons. They might get 25%.
Who's not going to get weapons? What do you mean?
If they demand them.
Oh, they're not going to be able to confiscate them, right? No, everybody that I know in Texas has like an old shotgun that doesn't work anymore that they're ready to hand over, but they got a real stash of firearms somewhere else that's tuned in, and that's the one that they're keeping. You know what I mean?
Well, every morning they go out with their Barrett.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, Texas is not going to be overrun by force. Not by any means. Bob, are you okay to take some calls?
Of course.
All right, let's do that. The phone lines are open, 800-259-9231. For some of you who have been holding, I do want to address your questions to Bob Chapman, not to any of our previous guests we've had today. So if you don't have a question for Bob, please free up the line. But let's go to Sean in Oregon. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead, please.
Thanks a lot. Bob, I get your international forecast letter, and me and my wife are interested in possibly buying another house eventually. With the rate of foreclosures going up, is now a good time to buy with a low interest rate, or wait till more foreclosures and the housing market goes down further?
I would wait.
You would wait.
If you got to buy a house, it might go down 20% over the next 2 to 3 years. It doesn't matter what interest rate you pay, you're going to lose money. So if right now the inventory of foreclosed homes owned by banks is 6.8 million homes, and it's predicted it will be 9.8 million homes at the beginning of 2015. Oh, there is absolutely no reason to have your money tied up in an illiquid asset for the next few years. And then on top of that, let's say, hypothetically, that that's a bottom. I mean, how many years is this going to bump along? 8 or 30? I mean, I don't know, and neither does anybody else.
Yeah.
So you keep on renting, and if the rents go up, you pay them. It beats losing money on the front end.
Good question, Sean. Thank you for your question. Let's go to Tommy in Tennessee. Tommy, you're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
I would like to ask you guys about something I've found here. It's Ron Paul's Sustainable Defense Task Force. It's in cooperation with Barney Frank. Okay, we have Billy of the New American Foundation, funded by George Soros. You got Larry, we'll leave it at that, American Center of American Progress, funded by George Soros. Policy Studies, Merriam. George Soros.
Wait a minute, are you saying these are all people who are on this task force that you mentioned? Is that?
Yes, 11 of the 14 people that's on this task force are all funded by George Soros.
But I've never heard of this task force. Bob, have you heard of this task force?
No, I haven't.
It's budget to cut the $1 trillion.
Oh, well, Tommy, we got to roll a break here. We'll check that out during the break, just see if something comes up on that. I appreciate your question and your call. We'll be right back with more calls and questions for Bob Chapman. We're going to other callers when we get back, DJ, Dave, Doug, and others. So stay with us right here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back with a lot more from Bob Chapman. Thanks a lot. Yeah. All right, we're back. Thank you for tuning in to the Alex Jones Show. I hope you've enjoyed our show so far. We have another segment here still with Bob Chapman and taking some calls. And Alex gave me permission to mention that if you enjoy my coverage of this and you want to see some more articles and videos that I put out, they're all liberty-oriented. It's all about natural health and health freedom. Just check out my website, naturalnews.com. Which is now 4 million readers a month checking out that website. And we also, we link to InfoWars a lot. We have the same aligned beliefs on freedom and the Constitution, as does Bob Chapman. So it's great to be part of this alternative news. We're really the new mainstream news. It's just great to be part of this whole effort, changing lives and restoring freedom. Now, Bob, I did check during the break. There is a project, the Sustainable Defense Task Force that the previous caller mentioned. It's called the Project on Defense Alternatives. I don't know much about it, but there was a website. It does mention Ron Paul, but it says that he's a member of the task force, but it doesn't mean his affiliation necessarily endorses the task force findings. So that's interesting. We need to do more looking into this. Got any comments on it?
No, I'm just surprised.
Well, yeah, me too. I hadn't heard of it. So let's just...
It would have to be passive. But
yeah.
I'm sure you'll find out.
We'll put that under the category of more research. But getting back to callers, and I do want to thank our callers, let's go to DJ in Florida. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Bob, I talked to you when you were on a Monty's program a month or so ago about the financial tax of Wall Street. This is not my idea. This is Webster Topley's idea. He said that there's a quadrillion transactions on Wall Street in a given year. If we could go ahead and tax just 50 cents on every transaction when you buy a transaction and when you sell a transaction, and that 50 cents go directly to our treasury, we could rebuild our treasury and we could go ahead and pay off our national debt, which is a $250 trillion, according to David Walker, that used to be the accountant general. Make everything solvent again, go back to 1776 with the surplus money that we have left over. We could buy gold and put it into our treasury, make our...
That's a good question, DJ. Bob, what do you think? New tax on financial transactions, yes or no?
He's absolutely correct. And, you know, this little game that they're playing over in Europe right now, the end theme of this whole thing is not to raise money for the Eurozone or for the European Union. It's to raise money for the UN, the IMF, and the World Bank. That's what that's all about. And although I am all for what the gentleman said, we have to be very, very careful if we craft something like that so that these entities, IMF, UN, and World Bank, do not in any way get their hands on it. Because that's really what this is about. And so isn't the carbon tax, incidentally.
Well, that's the real danger. I mean, if you give Washington more money, they're going to find more ways to waste it. I mean, a new tax, you can't assume it's going to pay down the debt because they won't use it for that. They'll just go into more debt and find more spending programs.
Well, you'd have to mandate it that it couldn't be. But, you know, Washington, it's endless.
Yeah. Bob, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to thank all the callers. Great questions today. Thank you for your calls. Thank you, Bob Chapman. The internationalforecaster.com is your website. And thank you all for listening and watching today on The Alex Jones Show. It's been my honor, my duty, really, to serve you here. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, signing off. Check Alex on Sunday on his show, and then he'll be back, of course, on Monday with the regular Alex Jones Show all week next week. Have a great weekend, folks. I'll see you again soon. Take care.